Chapter 6. Or partially covered with rugs, and the lanai is prettily furnished with comfortable chairs, sofas, and tables loaded with flowers, or wonderful ferns in pots. The lanai is the favorite reception room, and here at any social function the musical program is given, and cakes and ices are served. Here morning callers are received, or gay riding parties, the ladies in pretty divided skirts, worn for convenience in riding astride, the universal mode adopted by Europeans and Americans, as well as by the natives. The comfort and luxury of such an apartment, especially at a seashore villa, can hardly be imagined. The soft breezes sweep across it, heavy with the fragrance of jasmine and gardenia, and through the swaying boughs of palm and mimosa there are glimpses of rugged mountains, their summits veiled in clouds, of purple sea with the white surf beating eternally against the reefs, whiter still in the yellow sunlight, or the magical moonlight of the tropics. There, rugs, ices, pictures, lanais, worldly books, sinful bric-a-brac fetched from everywhere. And the ladies riding astride. These are changes, indeed. In my time the native women rode astride, but the white ones lacked the courage to adopt their wise custom. In my time ice was seldom seen in Honolulu. It sometimes came in sailing vessels from New England as ballast, and then, if there happened to be a man of war in port, and balls and suppers raging by consequence, the ballast was worth $600 a ton, as is evidenced by reputable tradition. But the ice machine has traveled all over the world now, and brought ice within everybody's reach. In Lapland and Spitsbergen no one uses native ice in our day, except the bears and the walruses. The bicycle is not mentioned. It was not necessary. We know that it is there, without inquiring. It is everywhere. But for it, people could never have had summer homes on the summit of Mont Blanc. Before its day, property up there had but a nominal value. The ladies of the Hawaiian capital learned too late the right way, to occupy a horse too late to get much benefit from it. The riding horse is retiring from business everywhere in the world. In Honolulu a few years from now he will be only a tradition. We all know about Father Damien, the French priest who voluntarily forsook the world, and went to the leper island of Molokai to labor among its population of sorrowful exiles who wait there, in slow consuming misery, for death to come, and release them from their troubles. And we know that the thing which he knew beforehand would happen, did happen. That he became a leper himself, and died of that horrible disease. There was still another case of self-sacrifice, it appears. I asked after Billy Ragsdale, interpreter to the Parliament in my time, a half-white. He was a brilliant young fellow, and very popular. As an interpreter he would have been hard to match anywhere. He used to stand up in the Parliament, and turn the English speeches into Hawaiian, and the Hawaiian speeches into English with a readiness, and a volubility that were astonishing. I asked after him, and was told, that his prosperous career was cut short in a sudden and unexpected way, just as he was about to marry a beautiful half-caste girl. He discovered, by some nearly invisible sign about his skin, that the poison of leprosy was in him. The secret was his own, and might be kept concealed for years, but he would not be treacherous to the girl that loved him, he would not marry her to a doom like his. And so he put his affairs in order, and went around to all his friends, and bade them goodbye, and sailed in the leper ship to Molokai. There he died the loathsome and lingering death that all lepers die. In this place let me insert a paragraph or two from 11 The Paradise of the Pacific Rev. H. Goen, we're lepers. It is easy for those who have no relatives or friends among them to enforce the decree of segregation to the letter, but who can write of the terrible, the heartbreaking scenes which that enforcement has brought about? Man upon high I was suddenly taken away after a summary arrest, leaving behind him a helpless wife about to give birth to a babe. The devoted wife with great pain and risk came the whole journey to Honolulu, and pleaded until the authorities were unable to resist her entreaty, that she might go, and live like a leper with her leper husband. Woman in the prime of life and activity is condemned as an incipient leper, suddenly removed from her home, and her husband returns to find his two helpless babes moaning for their lost mother. Imagine it. The case of the babies is hard, but its bitterness is a trifle less than nothing compared to what the mother must suffer, and suffer minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year, without respite, relief, or any abatement of her pain till she dies. The woman, Luca Kaka, has been living with her leper husband in the settlement for 12 years. The man has scarcely a joint left, his limbs are only distorted ulcerated stumps. For 4 years his wife has put every particle of food into his mouth. He wanted his wife to abandon his wretched carcass long ago, as she herself was sound and well, but Luca said that she was content to remain and wait on the man she loved till the spirit should be freed from its burden. Myself have known hard cases enough. Of a girl, apparently in full health, decorating the church with me at Easter, who before Christmas is taken away as a confirmed leper, of a mother hiding her child in the mountains for years, so that not even her dearest friends knew that she had a child alive, that he might not be taken away, of a respectable white man taken away from his wife and family, and compelled to become a dweller in the leper settlement, where he is counted dead, even by the insurance companies. And one great pity of it all is, that these poor sufferers are innocent. The leprosy does not come of sins which they committed, but of sins committed by their ancestors, who escaped the curse of leprosy. Mr. Gowan has made record of a certain very striking circumstance. Would you expect to find in that awful leper settlement a custom worthy to be transplanted to your own country? They have one such, and it is inexpressibly touching and beautiful. When death sets open the prison-door of life there, the band salutes the freed soul with a burst of glad music. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.